Hello, I'm very glad that we're together again in our study of the Old Testament.
Hello, Adi Bunga. Urang sasarengan dina pangajaran ngeunaan perjanjian lami.
And right now we're going to look at Genesis chapter 11 and then the following chapters.
Ngawitan urang ningali kejadian 11 salajengna pasal-pasalna.
In our last lesson, we talked about the relationships that people have with God.
Pengajaran kamari urang nyarioskeun hubungan antara urang sareng Allah.
Sometimes people have a relationship of obedience and fellowship with God.
Kadang ngagaduhan hubungan nu taat sareng persekutuan sareng Allah.
Other people have a relationship which is one of disobedience.
Jalmi sanes ngagaduhan hubungan anu teu taat.
And the great sin of mankind,
dosa anu pangageungna ti umat manusia,
of both Adam and Eve,
ya Adam sareng Hawa,
was to say, I will decide for myself what is right and wrong.
Di mana dicaraoskeun abdi mutuskeun kanggo dirina abdi nu leres sareng nu lepat.
Why should God decide what I should do?
Mana nu langkung sae Allah nu mutuskeun atau urang mutuskeun?
I will decide good and evil and behave accordingly.
Abdi bade mutuskeun nu hade, nu jahat sarta nu saluyu.
There is another example of the same kind of thing in Genesis chapter 11.
Aya contoh sanes tina nu sarupa eta dina Kejadian 11.
It is the story of the Tower of Babel.
Ieu carita Menara Babel.
The whole thing is really based on a play on words in the Hebrew language.
Sadaya hal-hal leres didasarkeun kana permainan kata-kata dina basa Ibrani.
There is the word Babel or Bab El.
Aya kecap Babel atanapi Bab El.
Bab is gate, El is God.
Bab nyaeta panto sarta El nyaeta Allah.
So Bab El is a gate to Godhood.
Bab El teh hiji panto ngajugjug ka Allah.
There is another Hebrew word.
Aya kecap Ibrani sanes.
Balal meaning confusion.
Balal artinya kebingungan.
Look at Genesis 11.
Tingali Kejadian 11.
Verse 4.
Ayat 4.
And they said, come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower whose top is in the heavens. Let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be scattered abroad over the face of the whole earth.
Cik maranehna, urang nyieun munara, make munara puncakna nepi ka langit, sangkan ka masyhur, supaya ulah papencar.
Here they were centering their minds on themselves.
Dia ranjeuna musakeun pikiran ka dirina.
What we will do.
Naon anu bade dipidameul?
What we will build.
Naon anu bade dibangun?
A name for ourselves.
Teangan nama pikeun sadaya.
And we will build this tower so the top is up to or as it were into the heavens.
Urang ngabangun munara anu puncakna dugi ka langit.
Now, in the ancient biblical world,
ayeuna dina dunya kuno Alkitab,
there were in, for example, the lands of Mesopotamia around Babylon,
tanah Mesopotamia disabudeureun Babilonia,
towers that were built,
munara-munara dibangun.
They would build a large platform of brick,
ayeuna bade ngabangun panggung lega tina bata.
On top of that, another platform of brick, a little smaller but rising higher.
Dureunana diwangun panggung sanesna batu bata alit tapi luhur.
And then another and another and so on.
Salajengna nu sanesna kitu saterusna.
This was connected with their idolatrous worship.
Ieu nyambung nyembah berhala.
And with the gods they invented, the gods of the stars and the god of the moon.
Sarengku dewa-dewa nu aya, dewa-dewa bintang sareng bulan.
And their religion was connected with astrology.
Agamana dihubungkeun sareng astrologi.
And the whole idea of astrology.
Sadayana mikiran astrologi.
Is for man to be able to know destiny, to know the future and control it.
Beres terang nasib, terang hari depan sareng ngaturna.
So they were saying, let us build a tower Its relationship will be with the heavens, the stars.
Jerusalem ngawangun munara nepi ka langit, bentang-bentang.
Where we can predict the future.
Urang tiasa ngaramalkeun pikahareupeun.
Where we can get occult or hidden spiritual powers for ourselves.
Urang tiasa kenging kawasa poek atawa nyumputkeun kawasa rohani.
Ultimately, what they were trying to do was to become God.
Terus jelas, nuku aranjeun dicoba dipigawenya eta jadi Allah.
It was Babel, a gate up into God's domain.
Babel, panto lebet ka wilayah ka kawasan Allah.
Man wanted to take control.
Manusia hayang ngawasaan.
In his name.
Kudirina.
His city.
Kotana.
His tower.
Munarana.
His control of events.
Tina kajadian-kajadian.
The result.
Nu hasilna.
Was the judgment of God.
Nyaeta hukuman Allah.
And all of this ended in confusion.
Sadayana akhirna kaributan.
Where they were all saying different, speaking different things and couldn't understand each other.
Aranjeuna sadayana rios ku basa-basa nu benten teu tiasa nyambung.
And so it ended in balal, confusion.
Akhirna balal kaributan.
Verse 9.
Ayat 8.
Therefore its name is called Babel, because there the Lord confused Balal, the language of all the earth, and from there the Lord scattered them abroad over the face of all the earth.
Eta negara dingaranan Babel, lantaran dirinya pangeran ngusutkeun bahasa manusia, sarta disemat harita manusia teh kumantena dipabuyarkeun ka sakuliah dunya.
Again, we see the situation where man was disobedient to God in the vertical relationship, and the result was confusion on the horizontal relationship between people.
Kurang ningali kaayaan manusia tetaat ka Allah dina hubungan vertikal, hasilna kakacauan dina hubungan horizontal di antawis jalmi-jalmi.
Later in Genesis chapter 11,
dina kejadian 11,
we are introduced to a new theme.
Urang diwanuhkeun sareng saderek anyar.
It is the story of a man called Abraham.
Carita saurang pamegat jenenganna Abraham.
Abraham came from an area not far from Babylon, Babel, where this tower was built.
Asalna ti daerah nu teu jauh ti Babylon, Babul, di mana munara eta diwangun.
Of course, he came from a much later generation. I'm going to show you a map, and you're going to see where Abraham traveled. Before we do that, I'll show you the general area on the map behind me. Now, you can see the whole world here. All of these events are taking place in the Middle East.
Sadaya kejadian di Timur Tengah.
Where we have Africa and Asia and Europe all joining together.
Di mana Afrika, Asia, sareng Eropa sadayana nyambung.
And in this area, we have two great rivers.
Di daerah ieu aya dua walungan ageung.
The river Euphrates and the river Tigris.
Prata sareng Tigris.
It is today called the nation of Iraq.
Ayeuna disebut Irak.
And this is the area that Abraham came from.
Da ieu daerah asal Abraham.
Now what I'd like to do is for you now to see the map of this area.
Abdi hayang saderek ningali peta ieu.
You can see at the bottom right-hand side of your map the city called Ur.
Saderek tiasa ningali di bagianana peula katuhu kota nu namina Ur.
The river that is situated on is the river Euphrates.
Walungan nu aya di dieu Efrata.
There is another river a little to the north called the Tigris.
Aya walungan sana sakedik di belah kaler Tigris.
The word Mesopotamia means the land between those rivers.
Kota Mesopotamia hartina daratan di antawis walungan-walungan.
Now, the first stage of Abraham's journey, you will see this on the map.
Kaiji perjalanan Abraham saderek ningali dina peta.
Took him from the city of Ur,
di kota Ur,
to the area further north between the two rivers.
Ka daerah anu langkung tebih ka kaler di antawis dua walungan.
Going up the Euphrates Valley.
Walungan lembah Efrat.
Then he was in the area called Aram.
Rajengna ayeuna aya di tengah-tengah Aram.
Which means Assyria.
Ayeuna Asyur.
Aram Naharaim, which means Aram between the rivers.
Aram Naharaim, nu artina Aram di antawis walungan-walungan.
Sometimes this is called Padan Aram, the field of Aram.
Kadang-kadang ia disebut Padang Aram, kebon Aram.
Then he went across towards Damascus. Although it does not mention the Damascus at this point in the Bible.
Najan Damsik teu disebat dina Alkitab.
He had to go that way.
Kadang langkungan jalan eta.
And then he came down towards through the Holy Land.
Lajengna anjeunna lungsur ngalangkungan tanah suci.
To Hebron, which is just south of Jerusalem.
Ka Hebron nu aya di beulah kidul Yerusalem.
And then later we find him going into Egypt and back again.
Lajengna dikadeunakeun mendakan anjeunna lebet ka Mesir sareng mulang deui.
So that map just gives you an idea of where it's all happening.
Peta eta mah sian pamikiran di mana sadayana eta kajantenan.
Let us now look at Genesis 11 verse 31.
Hayu urang ningali kana Kejadian 11 ayat 31.
And Terah took his son Abram, and his grandson Lot, the son of Haran, and his daughter-in-law Sarah, his son Abram's wife, and they went out with them from Ur of the Chaldeans to go to the land of Canaan, and they came to Haran and dwelt there.
Geus kitu Terah ngantunkeun kota Ur di Babilonia sejak ka tanah Kanaan. Abram putrana, Lut putuna anu ti Haran, Sarai mantuna geureuhanna Abram disandak nepi ka Haran tuluy tumetep di dinya.
Now, this is time now to talk a little bit about this place in history where Abraham fits in.
Ieu waktosna nyarios ngeunaan tempat ieu dina sejarah di mana Abraham aya.
We're not going to put an exact year on Abraham. That's not possible.
Urang mah nangtukeun tauna Abraham ieu moal tiasa.
One of the problems with chronology in the Bible, with looking at history and years,
hiji masalah ku kronologi di nu Alkitab katingali sejarah sareng tauna,
is that the word for father is the same as grandfather or ancestor.
Nyaeta yen kecap kanggo bapa teh sami sareng aki atanapi buyut.
The word for son can be used to mean grandson or descendant.
Putra tiasa dianggo incu atanapi katurunan.
So you cannot always just add together the names you see in a genealogy and reckon a time. It doesn't work like that.
Janten saderek teu tiasa nambihan ngaran-ngaran nu aya di silsilah sareng waktuna teu tiasa kitu wae.
But we can fix Abraham in a general way.
Urang tiasa netepkeun Abraham secara umum.
In history we would call it the Middle Bronze Age 2A.
Dina sejarah urang nyebatkeun jaman parunggu tengah 2A.
Somewhere between 2000 and 1800 BC.
Kinten-kinten 2000 sareng 1800 sebelum Masehi.
Now, remember, when we're talking about years before Christ, the bigger the number, the further back it is.
Inaimut waktos nuju nyareuskeun ngeunaan taun-taun sateu acana Kristus, langkung ageung angkana langkung tebih ka pengker.
2000 years before Christ comes before 1000 years.
2000 satu acana Kristus kajantenan satu acana 1000 tahun.
When we're talking about numbers before, the bigger the number, the further back it is.
Waktu seorang nyariuskeun angka-angka satu acana, langkung ageung angka langkung tebih ka pengker.
Abraham came from a place called Ur.
Abraham asalna ti hiji tempat nu namina Ur.
The people of that area were called the Sumerians. It was the land of Sumer.
Jalmi-jalmi di daerah eta disebut Jalmi Sumeria, tanah Sumer.
It was South Babylonia.
Ieu ayana di kiduleun Babilonia.
Now, what did these people believe?
Ayeuna naon anu kudu dipercaya jalmi-jalmi ieu?
If we look in the Bible,
wami urang ningal di Alkitab,
in Joshua chapter 24,
dina Yosua 24 ayat 2,
and verse 2, we see that Abraham was born into an idolatrous pagan family.
Urang terang yen Abraham dilahirkeun dina keluarga nyembah berhala.
Joshua 24 verse 2.
Yosua 24 ayat 2.
And Joshua said to all the people, thus says the Lord God of Israel, your fathers, including Terah, the father of Abraham and the father of Nahor, dwelt on the other side of the river in old times, and they served other gods. Then I took your father Abraham from the other side of the river and led him throughout all the land of Canaan.
Nyalahir Yosua kasakabe pangandika pangeran Allah Israel kieu baheula karuhun marane caricingna teh dipuntaseun walungan Efrat belah ditu ngabaktina ka Allah-allahan. Salah saurang ti eta karuhun nya eta Terah bapana Ibrahim jeung Nahor, jeung kami mawa Ibrahim di tanah puntasin Efrat diparentah ngambah sakuliah tanah Kanaan.
Now we would read in the New Testament.
Ayeuna urang maca dina Perjanjian Anyar.
That the God of glory appeared to Abraham when he lived in Mesopotamia.
Allah anu mulya nembongan ka Ibrahim waktos anjeunna di Mesopotamia.
In the Old Testament, we're told that Terah took Abraham.
Dina perjanjian lami, urang terang yen Terah nyandak Ibrahim.
Because Terah was his father and was the patriarch of the family.
Antaran Terah teh bapana sareng kepala keluarga.
So his name is given the place of honor in the Old Testament.
Janten namina dipasihan tempat kehormatan dina perjanjian lami.
But it was Abraham's life that God was really working in.
Antaran Allah didamel dina kehidupan Ibrahim.
And God said, I want you to leave your country.
Allah nyarios kami hayang mane ninggal ke negara mane.
And even your family.
Mane anak pamajikan mane.
And go to the place that I'm going to show you.
Serta init ka negara anu barisku kami dituduhkeun.
Now, why did God do this?
Kunaon Allah midamel
ki? There were reasons in Abraham's life.
Aya alasan-alasan dina hirupna Ibrahim.
And God had to have Abraham on his own to do some of those things.
Allah kena ngajantenkeun Ibrahim milikna kanggo sabaraha.
But there may have been another very strong reason.
Panginten aya alasan sanes anu kiat pisan.
In the city of Ur,
di kota Ur,
the whole city was dominated by the worship of one God.
Cadaya kota di kawasan ku sembahkan hiji Allah.
Now, they worshipped many gods.
Aranjeunna nyembah ka dewa-dewa.
Hundreds of gods.
Ratusan dewa.
But one god was important to them.
Hiji dewa anu penting ka aranjeunna.
And they called him
disebut
Nanar.
Nanar.
They also had an alternative name in the Semitic languages.
Aranjeunna oge ngagaduhan nami sanes dina basa Semit.
Which was the word, the name Sin.
Dina basa Semit.
And so Na'anar or Sin was the god of the moon.
Na'anar atanapi Sin teh dewa bulan.
They believed that he actually owned the city.
Ranjina percantan yang manehna laras-laras ngagaduhan kota eta.
And the area around it.
Sareng daerah di sabudeureunana.
So that the king was really the deputy or the tenant of the moon god.
Raja mangrupikeun wakil atanapi mitra dewa bulan.
To deny the existence of the moon god was to question the authority of the king.
Kanggo nampik ayana dewa bulan, ngayakeun patarosan otoritas raja.
In the very center of the city was a huge temple tower.
Di tengah-tengah kota ya kuil menara nu agung.
Rather like what we've described in Babel.
Reksami sarang Babel.
And it was dedicated to the moon god.
Ia didedikasikeun jeung dewa bulan.
Around it were many different workshops.
Di sabudeureun eta aya tempat-tempat usaha nu barenten.
Where people worked in metal and in textiles.
Jami-jami ngadamel logam sareng tekstil.
Because all this was under the control of the temple.
Aya dina pengawasan kuil eta.
When people paid their taxes.
Atos jami-jami mayar pajak.
They did not have cash as we have it.
Degadu artos anu tunai.
The farmer would bring his cheese or his sheep.
Para petani nyandak kijuna dombana.
Or some wool.
Atan piwol.
And they would pay their taxes to the moon god.
Aranjeunna bade mayar pajak ka dewa bulan.
everything was under the control of this god called Nanar.
Sagalana aya dina pangawasan dewa ieu nu disebut Nanar.
Life for Abraham, believing in one God who was not Nanar.
Hirup Abraham percaya ka hiji Allah sanes Nanar.
Would have been impossible.
Baris moal bisa.
He believed in one God who created the moon and the stars and everything else.
Anjeuna percanten Allah anu nyiptakeun bulan sareng bintang sareng sagalana.
And so God called him out of Ur.
Sagalana Allah miwarang kaluar ti Ur.
It was not easy.
Yes, sir.
Because Ur was a wonderful city.
Lantaran Ur teh hiji kota anu endah.
They had very large, comfortable houses.
Ranjeuna ngagaduhan bumi anu agreng.
They had beautiful art.
Ranjeuna ngagaduhan karya seni nu endah.
They had highly developed industries.
Ngagaduhan industri nu maju.
They had fine music.
Ngagaduhan musik nu sae.
It was a place which was secure.
Eta hiji tempat anu aman.
A center of culture and civilization.
Hiji tempat budaya anu sareng peradaban.
But Abraham was called to live in tents.
Nyan Ibrahim disauran kanggo linggih di tenda-tenda.
To follow God.
Kanggo ngiring Allah.
And to start with, he did not know where God was taking him.
Kanggo ngamulyakeunana anjeunna teu terang ka mana Allah bade nyandak.
Faith is like that.
Iman sapertos eta.
It does not know where it is being led.
Iman teu terang ka mana bade dipimpin.
But it does know the one who's doing the leading.
Iman terang mantenna nuju ka pemimpin.
Now let's move to Genesis 15.
Hayu ayeuna urang tingali kejadian 15.
Abraham obeyed.
Ibrahim taat.
First he moved from Ur to Haran.
Kaiji anjeuna mapah ti Ur ka Haran.
And after the death of his father,
Kaparantos bapana maot,
he moved on into the land of Canaan.
Anjeuna ngajug-jug ka tanah Kanaan.
Step by step he learned to trust God more.
Lengka demi lengka anjeuna diajak kanggo ngarayakeun diri ka Allah.
Do not think that Abraham one day was a pagan idolater and the next moment was a man of great faith.
Tong mikir Ibrahim teh nyembah berhala salajengna anjeunna teh jalmi nu iman.
It was not like that.
Ieu teu sapertos eta.
Abraham started in a pagan idolatrous household.
Ibrahim ngawitan nyembah berhala di rumah tangga.
But God spoke to him very clearly.
Allah nyarios ka anjeunna jelas pisan.
And he took the first step of faith in obedience to God.
Anjeunna nyandak lengkah iman ka hiji dina kataatan.
Then God spoke to him again.
Lajengna Allah ngadawuh ka anjeunna.
And he took another step of obedience, which was trust in God.
Anjeunna ngalengkah kataatan nya eta ngayakeun dirina jeung Allah.
His faith was a journey.
Imanna teh hiji perjalanan.
But Abraham reached a place
Ibrahim dugi ka hiji tempat
where his faith was like leaning on God.
Di mana imanna nyarande ka Allah.
Like a house could rest on its pillars which held it up.
Sapertos hiji bumi nyarande kana tihangna.
Like a door which would have two strong posts, one on each side and a lintel across the top.
Sapertos panto anu ngagaduhan kusen anu kuat dina masing-masing sisi.
The same word is used of Abraham.
Sami kanggo Ibrahim.
He leaned on the Lord.
Anjeunna nyarane ka pangeran.
And the Lord counted that as righteousness for him.
Pangeran ngitangna janten bebeneran kanggo anjeunna.
Look at Genesis 15 verse 6.
Tingali dina Kejadian 15 ayat 6.
And he believed in the Lord, and he accounted it to him for righteousness.
Abraham percanten kana dawuhanna sikap Abraham kitu ku pangeran ka mana.
Now that is a whole system of ideas that you will find in the New Testament.
Ieu teh sadaya sistem pamikiran anu susah derek mendak dina perjanjian anyar.
We too as believers lean on God.
Urang ogé nu percaya nyarande ka Allah.
We rest, we trust in him.
Urang nyarande mercantenkeun diri ka mantenna.
And our righteousness is something that God counts to us rather than our own achievement.
Kebeneran urang teh nyaeta nu ku Allah ngetang ka urang tibatan kenging urang nyalira.
Now, let's go back to the beginning of chapter 15.
Rang balik deui kana mimiti pasal 15.
Verse 1.
Ayat 1.
After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your exceedingly great reward.
Geus kitu pangeran ngandika ka Ibrahim dina titinggalianna dawuhna. Tong sieun Ibrahim, ieu kami anu jadi tameng maneh, ganjaran maneh taya wiwilanganna.
But Abram said, Lord God, what will you give me, seeing I go childless? And the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus.
Abram ngawangsul, nun pangeran nu maha agung, kangge naon ganjaran dabi teh teu gaduh anak, ahli waris teh mung Eliezer, urang damsik tea.
Verse 3.
Ayat 3.
Then Abram said, Look, you have given me no offspring. Indeed, one born in my house is my heir.
Kumargi Gusti henteu maparin anak, raja kaya abdi baris ragrag teh tangtos ka salah sawios ganek abdi.
Now, we have to understand the cultural situation of Abraham at this time.
Urang kedangar tos kayaan budaya Ibrahim.
In that kind of a culture, having children was very important.
Dina budaya sarupa kitu, ngagaduhan putra penting bisa.
Who would look after Abraham when he was old?
Kanu bade ngajaga Ibrahim upami anjeunna teu sepuh?
When he would become old and sick, someone must care for him.
Anjeunna teu sepuh sarta udur hiji jalmi kedah ngusahakeunana.
There was no social security in the state.
Aya jaminan sosial ti nagara.
And so people had a custom of adopting someone.
Kukituna jalmi ngagaduhan kabiasaan nanggo ngangkat si jalmi.
They would take a younger man.
Ranjeuna nyandak saurang pamegat nulangkung ora.
Make a legal written contract.
Sarta ngadamel kontrak tertulis secara resmi.
In which that person, the younger person, would care for the older man.
Dimana jalmi eta jalmi nulangkung ora bade ngurus pamegat anu langkung sepuh.
And when the older man died, his belongings would become the property of his adopted son.
Upami nu langkung sepuh teh maot, hartana bakal janten milik putra angkatna.
Now, one of the cities in Mesopotamia was called Nuzi.
Salah sahiji kota di Mesopotamia namina Musi.
And sometime after the time of Abraham,
kadang-kadang parantos zaman Ibrahim,
about the middle of the second millennium before Christ,
kinten-kinten dua milenium satelacana Kristus,
we find written documents.
Kurang mendakan dokumen tertulis.
They were written actually on clay.
Tulisan-tulisan eta aya di taneuh porang.
Made into little tablets you could hold in your hand.
Didamel dina lolo alit janten saderek tiasa nyepeng.
And one document reads like this.
Salah sahiji dokumen tertulis saperos kieu.
This is the adoption document.
Ieu teh dokumen pengangkatan putra.
Of Nashwi.
Ti Nashwi.
The son of Arsheni.
Putra Arsheni.
Nashwi has adopted Wulu.
Nashwi tos ngangkat Wulu.
The son of Puhusheni.
Putra Puhusheni.
As long as Nashwi is alive.
Selama Nashwi hidup.
Wulu shall provide him with food and clothes.
Wulu badanya diakeun anjeunna tuangeun sareng anggoan.
When Nashwi dies, Wulu will be the heir.
Waktos Nashwi maot, Wulu baris janten ahli warisna.
It's very similar to what happened to Abraham.
Ia sami pisan sareng naon anu kajantenan sareng Abraham.
He had no son.
Anjeunna teu gaduh putra pamegat.
He took his trusted servant.
Anjeunna miwarang hamba kapercayaanana.
Eliezer of Damascus.
Eliezer ti Damsik.
He adopted him as his son.
Anjeunna ngangkat janten putrana.
Eliezer would look after Abraham.
Eliezer bade ngajaga Ibrahim.
When Abraham would die,
wami Ibrahim maut,
Eliezer would get everything.
Eliezer baris kenging sadagalana.
But such documents often contained another clause.
Tapi dokumen-dokumen sarupa kitu sering dieusi ku hal sanes.
If the older man later had a real son of his own,
upami pamegat ngalangkung sepuh kadieunakeun ngadeuhan putra pamegat,
Then the property would be divided between the adopted son and the physical son.
Eta harta milik baris dibagi di antawis anak angkat sareng putra kandung.
But the center of the inheritance would go down through the physical son of the old man.
Mung warisan utami baris diteraskeun kana putra kandung jalmi eta.
So, Abraham is saying to God, I've got no children, I've had to adopt my servant as my son.
Janten Ibrahim nuju nyarios kala, abdi tegaduh anak, abdi atos ngangkat gandek abdi janten anak.
And then we look at verse 3.
Salajengna urang ningali dina ayat 3.
Abraham said, look, you have given me no offspring, one born in my house is my heir.
Bumargi Gusti teu maparin anak, raja kaya abdi baris ragragna teh tangtos ka salasawios gandek.
Verse 4.
Ayat 4.
And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, saying, this one shall not be your heir, but one who will come from your own body shall be your heir.
Jendra pangeran kadangu deui, lain eta anu baris jadi ahli waris teh, tapi anak maneh pituin.
Then he brought him outside, looked now towards heaven, and count the stars if you are able to number them. And he said to him, so shall your descendants be.
Dirinya Abraham ku pangeran dicanda kaluar, pangeran ngadawudi, cik tangga ka langit, itung bentang nu bisa mah, tah turunan maneh teh kawas kitu lobana.
But Abraham said in verse 8, Lord God, how shall I know that I will inherit it?
Tapi Ibrahim nyarios dina ayat 8, nun pangeran anu maha agung, kumaha abdi ayapi kerangun, yen abdi baris ngamilikna.
Now here's another idea, another theme.
Ayana di dia aya pamikiran sanes tema sanes.
He's talking about a son, now he's talking about an inheritance.
Anjeuna nyarios ngeunaan putra, ayeuna anjeuna nyarios ngeunaan warisan.
What is the inheritance?
Naon warisan eta?
Verse 7.
Ayat 7.
Then God said to him, I am the Lord who brought you out of Ur of the Chaldeans to give you this land to inherit.
Pangeran ngadawudeui, ieu kami pangeran anu nginditkeun maneh ti Ur ka Babilonia sangkan maneh narima itana.
So now we've got two themes.
Janten ayeuna urang gaduh dua tema.
The seed of Abraham.
Ini Abraham.
That means he would have a son of his own.
Nu artina anjeuna baris ngagaduhan putra kandung.
And he would have, that son would have another son.
Putra eta baris ngagaduhan putra sanes.
And so it would go on to many generations and thousands of people.
Teras kitu salajengna dugi ka seueur turunan sareng ribuan jalmi.
The other theme,
tema nu sanes,
is that these people would possess the land in which Abraham was then standing.
Nyaeta yen jalmi-jalmi ieu baris ngagaduhan taneuh di mana waktu harita Ibrahim ngadeg.
Not the land of Ur, but the land of Canaan that God had brought him into.
Tanah di tanah Ur, tapi di tanah Kanaan anu baris anjeuna lebetan ku pamimpin Allah.
Let's look at the big map on the wall.
Ayo urang ningali peta ageung dina tembok.
Abraham came from Ur.
Ibrahim sumping ti Ur.
Which is down here. God took him up by the river Euphrates.
Allah nyandakna ti walungan Efrat.
Through Damascus.
Walungan Damsik.
And down into this land here.
Serta dugi ka tanah di dieu.
God said, your descendants will have this land.
Allah ngadawuh katurunan anjeun bakal ngagaduhan nagri ieu.
And later in the chapter, the land is given a definition.
Serta dina pasal ka dieuna ke nagri eta dipasihan hiji keterangan.
The river of Egypt is one.
Walungan di Mesir ayah itu.
Now that's not the Nile here.
Janten di dieu sanes walungan Nil.
It is a what is called a wadi, a seasonal watercourse, a here called now in Arabic Wadi El Arish.
Nu disebut hiji wadi, hiji cinyusu musiman di Arab Wadi Al Arish.
And the northern boundary is the Euphrates, which is up here.
Batas di kalernya eta Efrat di belah luhur ieu.
There is no western boundary or eastern boundary.
Gaya batas kulon atau batas wetan.
The natural western boundary is the Mediterranean Sea.
Batas belah kulon kucara alami nyaeta laut tengah.
There's an eastern boundary by the Jordan, and beyond that is ultimately the desert.
Bagian wetan walungan Yordan sareng pengkeureunanna padang gurun.
So God promised a land to Abraham.
Janten Allah ngajanjikeun hiji nagri ka Ibrahim.
He promised him descendants.
Sarta mantenna ngajanjikeun anjeunna turunan.
Then God made a covenant with him.
Bajeng Allah ngadamel hiji perjanjian sareng anjeunna.
If we look at verse 18,
pami urang ningali dina ayat 18,
it says on the same day the Lord made a covenant with Abraham.
Dereskeun dina poe eta pangeran ngadamel hiji perjanjian jeung Abraham.
And then it describes the land as I've just described it.
Jeungna dijelaskeun ngeunaan nagri eta sakumaha anu umbe dijelaskeun tadi.
If we translate that literally in verse 18,
upami urang menterjemahkeun ku cara harfiah dina ayat 18,
it says the Lord cut a covenant with Abraham.
Dicariuskeun yen pangeran ngadamel hiji perjanjian sareng Ibrahim.
Now we need to talk about covenant.
Ayeuna urang kedah nyarios ngeunaan perjanjian.
A key concept in the Old Testament.
Hiji konsep kuncena dina perjanjian lami.
The Hebrew word for covenant is berith.
Kata Ibrani nganggo perjanjian teh beri.
What is the meaning of berith?
Naon artina berith?
It's probably connected with a word that was used by the Assyrians and Babylonians.
Panginten aya hubunganna sareng kecap anu dianggo ku urang Asyur sareng Babilonia.
The word beritu.
Kecap beritu.
Beritu means a fetter or bond.
Beritu artina hiji belenggu atawa iketan.
If you tied an animal by its leg.
Bisa derek mengket hiji satol dinu sukuna.
That would be a fetter, a beritu.
Ieu bakal janten hiji belenggu hiji beritu.
If you had two people,
pami aya dua jalmi,
and you tied them together,
kaderek mengket aranjeunna sasarengan,
be a beritu, a fetter.
Eta bakal janten baritu belenggu,
like handcuffing two people together.
Sabaros ngabarogod dua jalmi sasarengan.
And so covenant ties people together.
Janten kitu perjanjian teh mengket jalmi-jalmi sasarengan.
Except that you can tie a person against their will.
Ibar saderek tiasa mengket hiji jalmi tapi anjeunna kersaeun.
Whereas a covenant is something you enter into voluntarily.
Memutan hiji perjanjian teh eta teh paramalan sukarela.
God tied himself to Abraham.
Janten Allah mengket mantenna nyalira ka Ibrahim.
He made a bond, a connection between himself and Abraham.
Anjeunna ngadamel hiji beungkeutan, hiji hubungan di antawis mantenna sareng Ibrahim.
And it was done by cutting.
Sareng ieu dipidamel ku motong.
If we look at the chapter.
Upami urang ningali dina pasal.
Verse 9.
Ayat 8.
God said to him, bring me a 3-year-old heifer, a 3-year-old female goat, a 3-year-old ram, a turtle dove, and a young pigeon.
Dewan pangeran kami pangnyokotkeun sapi bikang, embe bikang, jeung embe jalu, anu umur 3 taunan, hiji-hiji tikukur, hiji japati.
Verse 10.
Ayat 10.
Then he brought all these to him and cut them in two, down the middle, and placed each piece opposite the other, but he did not cut the birds in two.
Sato nu haturkeun ka Allah, terus dipencit, terus dibelah dua, eta beulanna sinapa hareup-hareup, tapi manuk mah teu dibelah.
Verse 17.
Ayat 17.
And it came to pass, when the sun went down and it was dark, that behold, there appeared a smoking oven and a burning torch that passed between those pieces.
Sanggeus poek, ujug-ujug brea aya parapen, hasilpna ngebul, jeung aya obor hurung, kalebah sato-sato beunang ngabeulahan tea.
Now what was God doing?
Naon anu kedah dipidamel ku Allah?
God speaks to us in languages we can understand.
Allah ngadawuh ka urang dina bahasa urang nu teu ngarti.
Right now, I'm speaking to you through an interpreter.
Abdi nuju nyareos ka saderek ngalangkungan penterjemah.
If I'm speaking a language which is not your language, it's not going to do anybody any good.
Bangi abdi nuju nyareos dina hiji bahasa nu sanes, bahasa saderek ieu teu ngadongkapkeun kahadean.
We must communicate in terms of words that are already understood.
Urang kada komunikasi dina cariosan laras ngartos.
And God does the same.
Allah oge kitu.
God communicates to us in terms of our own language and our own culture.
Allah ngadawuh ka urang dina basa sareng budaya urang nyalira.
The making of covenants was part of Abraham's own culture.
Adamal perjanjiannya itu bagian ti budaya Ibrahim.
Kings would make covenants with each other.
Raja-raja pada ngadamel perjanjian sareng nusanesna.
Individuals would make covenants with each other.
Pribadi-pribadi pada ngadamel perjanjian sareng nusanesna.
And God made a covenant with Abraham.
Allah ngadamel hiji perjanjian sareng Ibrahim.
Now God could have said to Abraham, I'm going to do this, and God would have done it.
Ayeuna Allah nyarioskeun ka Ibrahim, kami arek migawe ieu sarta Allah baris midamelna.
But you know God has given us many promises and we forget them.
Tapi saderek terang Allah tos masihan urang seueur janji tapi
So God wanted to make sure Abraham would remember.
Janten Allah yang mastikeun Ibrahim baris imut.
So God went through this little ceremony.
Janten Allah midamel upacara alit ieu.
We call it a covenant with a self-imprecatory oath.
Sebatna ieu hiji perjanjian anu ngalibatkeun sumpah pribadi.
We mean that you would make a promise to somebody.
Kadarek baris ngadamel janji ka jalmi.
And then you would say,
kadarek baris serius,
if I break my word,
kami abdi jalir tina carasan abdi,
may this or that terrible thing happen to me.
Antepkeun ieu atana pihal pekasieuneun tumi bak abdi.
Oh, you find lots of ancient civilizations doing this.
Kadarek baris mendakan seueur peradaban kuno midamel.
There was a case of much later after Abraham. In fact, even after the Old Testament period.
Kasus lami, lami saparantos zaman Ibrahim, paktana malah saparantos periode perjanjian lami.
In which Hannibal, the famous general from North Africa.
Di mana Hannibal, general kasohor di Afrika Kaler.
Made a promise to his soldiers.
Ada majangji ka prajuritna.
He took a lamb in one hand.
Anjeuna nyanak hiji anak domba.
He took a rock in the other.
Anjeuna nyanak batu karang.
He said, if I break my word to you,
anjeuna nyaros upami abdi jalir tina janji abdi bade karang.
May the gods do to me as I do to the lamb.
Dewa bakal ngadamel ka abdi sapertos anak domba ieu.
And then he hit the poor animal on the head with a stone.
Anjeuna neungeul anak domba ku batu.
And killed it.
Nepi ka pae.
Well, that was a long time later and a different place. But if you go back among the ancient Greeks and Trojans in the writings of Homer, you find the same.
Upami saderek mulang ka jaman urang Yunani sareng Troya, tulisan Homer saderek baris menakan ieu.
They called on the gods they believed in.
Anjeunna nyauran dewa-dewa
to kill the people and even their children if they broke their word.
Omayan jalmi malah putra-putra aranjeuna upami jalir tina janji.
Going back even further in history,
balik deui langkung tebih tina sejarah,
to the Hittites of Old Testament times,
nanaan suku Het di mana mas perjanjian lami,
when the soldiers made an oath of loyalty to the king,
waktos para prajurit ngadamel sumpah setia ka raja,
they would take fat in their hands,
aranjeuna baris nyimpen gaji dina panangan,
throw it in the fire.
Sareng manegugeunana kana seuneu.
And they would say,
aranjeuna baris nyarios,
as the fire has destroyed the fat,
saproseuneu ngancurkeun gaji,
so may I be destroyed if I break my loyalty to the king.
Kitu deui abdi bade dihancurkeun upami abdi teu tiasa satya ka raja.
There was usually a formula like this.
Biasana mah aya rumus sapertos kieu.
If I break my word, may the gods do the same to me and more also.
Kami abdi jalir janji keun wae dewa-dewa midamel hal ieu nu sami ka abdi, malah masing langkung.
Now sometimes they would take an animal.
Janten kadang mah aranjeuna nyandak
ieu sato. And they would cut that animal in two.
Teras motong sato eta janten dua bagian.
Put half on this side.
Impen nu sabeula di beulah dieu.
Half on that side.
Nu sabeulana di beulah dinya.
Walk through the middle.
Mapa di tengah-tengahna.
And say, may this happen to me if I break my word.
Teras nyarios, keun bae ieu tumiba upami abdi jalir.
All very serious stuff.
Sadaya ieu serius pisan.
Now in the book of Jeremiah.
Ayeuna dina kitab Yeremia.
Chapter 34. Some men in Israel made a covenant with each other.
Beberapa umat di Israel ngadamel perjanjian hiji sareng nusana-sana.
They took a calf, a young cow.
Aranjeuna nyanak hiji sapi nu ngora.
They cut it in two.
Potong eta anak sapi jadi dua.
They walked between it its parts.
Aranjeuna marapa di antawis bagianana.
And said, "May the Lord, the God, the true God, do to us if we break our word."
Cartanya reoskeun Pangeran Allah anu leres midamel sapertos kitu ka abdi upami abdi jalir tina janji.
And then they broke their word.
Aranjeuna jalir janji.
And God said through Jeremiah, "You shouldn't have done that."
Pangeran ngadawu ngalangkungan Yeremia, anjeun teu kudu migawe eta.
Because what you did in my name, I take very seriously.
Dilampakeun demi ngaran kami, nganggap eta serius.
Jeremiah 34:18.
Yeremia 34 ayat 18.
"And I will give the men who have transgressed my covenant and have not performed the words of the covenant which they made before me, when they cut the calf in two and pass between the parts of it."
Para penggawa Yuda jeung Yerusalem, bareng ajeung penggawa karaton, imam jeung pamimpin geus motong sapi jalu. Awakna dibeulah dua, maranena laleumpang di antara eta geus ikrar janji ka kami.
"The princes of Judah, the princes of Jerusalem, the eunuchs, the priests, and all the people of the land who passed between the parts of the calf."
Kari-kari eta janji jalir, sarat-saratna teu dihargaan, kusabab kitu marane ku kami rek dijieun kawas eta.
"I will give them into the hand of their enemies and into the hand of those who seek their life."
Diselehkeun ka musuhna baris tuluy diparaehan, mayit-mayitna bakal dihakan ku manuk jeung sato-sato galak.
I'm saying all of that just to paint the picture.
Jadi abdi nyarios sadaya ieu kanggo masihan gambaran.
Abraham, on the instructions of God,
Ibrahim ku parentah Allah,
took these animals,
nyanak sato-sato ieu,
cut them in two,
janten dua bagian,
put half on this side and half on that side,
nyimpen sebelah ditu belah dieu,
and the birds one on each side at the end.
Nak manuk eta disimpen di unggal sisi.
It was like a street of blood.
Ieu sapertos jalan anu didamel tina getih.
And then Abram waited.
Salajengna Ibrahim ngantosan.
Would God expect him to go down the middle?
Nah, Allah miharep anjeunna mapah di tengah-tengah.
And make that kind of a covenant?
Carita ngadamel perjanjian serupa kitu.
No, God did not require that.
Henteu, Allah teu mikahoyong eta.
But fire and smoke.
Mungsina sareng haseup.
A supernatural fire.
Hijisina supra alami.
Symbolical of the presence of God in many places in Scripture.
Ngalambangkeun ayana Allah dina seueur tempat di Alkitab.
This fire went down between those pieces.
Cenah eta ngalangkungan potongan-potongan daging.
And God cut a covenant with Abram.
Allah ngadamel hiji perjanjian sareng Abraham.
God said, "You are going to have children."
Allah ngadawu anjeun bakal ngagaduhan putra-putra.
"And I am going to give you and your descendants this land."
Carita kami bakal masihan anjeun jeung turunan anjeun nagri ieu.
It was very serious.
Ieu serius pisan.
Now, why did God do that?
Ayeuna naha Allah ngadamel eta?
We regard these customs as very strange.
Urang ningali kabiasaan-biasaan ieu aneh pisan.
But this was part of Abram's own world.
Tapi ieu teh bagian ti dunya Ibrahim.
Part of his culture.
Bagian tina budayana.
And God was good enough to come down to Abraham's level and speak to him in his own culture.
Allah bageur nganggo lungsur ka tingkat Ibrahim salaku manusia sarta nyarios ka anjeunna dina budaya nyalira.
The meaning of it was this.
Arti tina ieu nya eta.
God would not betray his word to Abraham and not do what he promised.
Allah moal jari tina perjanjian sareng Ibrahim sarta moal ngadamel naon anu ku anjeunna di yang
God is faithful anyway.
Sakumaha oge Allah setia.
But God wanted Abraham to understand how seriously he took this.
Mun Allah mikahoyong Ibrahim ngartos ka anjeunna serius kana hal ieu.
God was saying, "Abraham, I'm not a God who changes his mind all the time."
Allah nuju ngadawuh Ibrahim, kami lain Allah anu daek ngubah pikiranana.
The pagans believe in that kind of a God.
Jalmi kafir percanten ka Allah sareng pagitu.
Suddenly gets angry for no reason at all.
Anu sangaradak ambak teu pugu alesanana.
Or a God who thinks one thing today and another thing tomorrow.
Atawa Allah anu mikir dinten ieu kieu dinten itu kitu.
God said, "I'm the true God."
Allah ngadawuh kami mah Allah anu bener.
I'm faithful.
Kami ieu satia.
I'm making a promise to you.
Kami arek nyieun perjanjian jeung anjeun.
And if it's the only way I can demonstrate it to you.
Kami ieu hiji-hijina cara kami bisa mamerkeun ka aranjeun.
take the most serious thing in your culture. The strongest kind of promise you can make. I'm going to tie myself into your life.
And
I'm going to do it so strongly that I compare it to what you think of as covenant making.
Jadi kami ngabandingkan eta naon anu dijieun dipikirkeun anjeun dina nyieun perjanjian.
In the New Testament,
dina perjanjian anyar,
we're told that Abraham is the father of the faithful, those who believe on Christ.
Urang dipasihan terang yen Abraham teh bapa tina jalma satia aranjeun nu percaya Kristus.
God has come into our lives.
Allah anu tos lebet kana hirup urang.
Tied us to him.
Meungkeut urang ka mantena.
Tied himself to us.
Mengket diri mantena ka urang.
But he's done it in what we call the new covenant.
Anjeunna mi damelna dina naon anu ku urang disebat perjanjian anyar.
Where Jesus himself took our nature, humanity.
Di mana Yesus nyalira anu nyandak tabiat urang ka manusiaan.
And when we are born again, we receive his nature, the nature of Christ.
Sarta waktos urang dibabarkeun deui urang nampi tabiatna tabiat Kristus.
That is the strongest tie or covenant you could possibly think of.
Ieu beungkeutan anu pangkuatna atanapi perjanjian nu saderek tiasa pikirkeun.
Now to understand that covenant.
Baras ngartos perjanjian eta.
Is to move on to understand the whole of the Old Testament.
Maju terus kanggo ngartos sadaya perjanjian lami.
Because everything goes on from there.
Lantaran sadayana asalna ti dinya.
There were times when the people were in the land and times that they were not in the land.
Waktu jalmi-jalmi aya di tanah perjanjian sarta masa-masa aranjeunna teu aya di tanah eta.
God said to Abraham, I'm promising you the land, but you're not going to have it right now.
Allah ngadawuh ka Abraham, kami ngajanjikeun nagri tapi anjeun moal miboga ayeuna.
Because there are other people in the land right now.
Lantaran aya jelema sejen di dinya ayeuna.
The Amorites.
Urang Amori.
And I'm not going to turn them out right away.
Kami moal ngusir maranehna.
Now there later came a time when God did move out some people from the land.
Bakal cunuk waktuna waktos Allah mindakeun sababaraha jalmi ti nagri urang.
But those people had gone into sin to such a degree that they had disinherited themselves anyway.
Jalma-jalma ieu pinuku dosa kumargi eta aranjeunna moal ngawarisan deui ka ieu nagri.
So there we are in the life of Abraham.
Didinya urang aya dina kahirupan Ibrahim.
In our next session, we shall just pick up again in the life of Abraham and move on into the next covenant.
Dina sesi salajengna urang baris ngabahas dina kahirupan Ibrahim sarta ngalajengkeun deui kana perjanjian salajengna.
The covenant that God made with Israel at Mount Sinai.
Perjanjian Allah sareng Israel di Gunung Sinai.
Through his servant Moses.
Nyalangkungan hambana Musa.
So you be sure and be with us next time, won't you?
Pastikeun saderek sasarengan deui sanes waktos.
God bless you as you study the Old Testament.
Pangeran ngaberkahan saderek waktos saderek diajar perjanjian lami.